Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Toy Department time, boys and girls. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky, and this is one of those episodes that took some behind-the-scenes wrangling to make happen.
Just from a scheduling perspective, you know.
Yeah. I am traveling this week on my way to the Shaky Knees Music Festival in a couple hours.
I'm sorry, the what?
Shaky Knees Music Festival.
Shaky Knees?
Yes, that is the name of the festival, yes.
Is this a long-standing festival? Is this a new festival?
It's not super new. I want to say this is like year 8 or 9 of it. I believe it was founded in 2013. So there's also a there's also a Shaky Boots, which is like a country festival, and Shaky Beats, which you could, you know, figure out from
what's
there.
Shaky Knees?
I don't know why they call it. That's the rock one. I don't know why they call it Shaky Knees versus, like, I guess Shaky Rock sounds dumb, but that's what it's called. Shaky Knees.
All right.
So going to see some Foo Fighters tonight.
Oh, and, there you go.
And that's Saint Vincent. Big. Yeah, it should be
fun.
Boy,
you're just following her around the country, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. tomorrow I will be seeing Run the Jewels and Living Color.
Nice.
Among other things, and Strokes on Sunday.
All right. It's a big weekend.
Yeah, it should be fun. We've got a ton of stuff to talk about, right? We talked about some shows.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, we got some things.
And, of course, the challenge. Do you want to start with the challenge, or should we start with the shows?
I think we start with the shows.
We usually
slam through these.
I want to run through let's start with the Velvet Underground. Because I'm curious to, sorry, go ahead.
Just going to say, I guess we had a movie, really.
Yeah, it was a movie because it was a lot. I'm going to confess that it took me, I'd say, at least 3.5 sittings to watch all of the Velvet Underground because I fell asleep a couple times.
But, 2 sittings for me.
But I got there. I got there. I'm not going to say that I fell asleep because it was dull.
It was not dull.
It wasn't dull. But I did feel like it was, I don't know, like, I guess I was expecting something maybe a little less
avant-garde.
Perfunctory doc. Or maybe a little more avant-garde, I think, is what I was expecting. Huh. Something that would match the weirdness of the band. And I didn't find it to be that so much. You feel the opposite?
I don't feel the opposite exactly. I think the weirdness was perhaps, like, sort of a rote weirdness.
Yeah.
Which in and of itself is a little weird. I guess I just found it's not that I wish it was weirder. It's that the way the weirdness was performed felt not disingenuous exactly, but not exactly genuine either.
Yeah, I mean, it's a movie about a band that's really pushing the boundaries of culture, you know,
right.
At a time when there were a lot of people pushing the boundaries of culture. I'd say they were as pushy as it came. And this is not a boundary pushing doc to me, if that makes sense.
No, it's not a boundary pushing doc. It's just a doc that sort of recognizes said boundary pushing by like flashing some weird 70s images at you here and there. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Which again, I just found kind of, I mean, distracting or like confusingly pointless. I'm not quite sure how to describe it, but it didn't work for me.
And the absence of Lou Reed obviously is no one's fault here.
No,
you know? But
It's Lou Reed's fault.
it is. It's felt. I feel like even though they do, I think a pretty great job of gathering people who knew him well in all stages of his life.
Well, here's the thing. I think you get a very good picture of Lou Reed's behavior. And people,
which was crappy.
Terrible. and people acknowledge it and at times take a shot at interpreting it, right? At acknowledge, you know, at trying to figure out why. But more often than not, what we arrive at is someone who knew him reasonably well as anyone could have expected to, saying something to the effect of, well, you know, hard to say what was going on in his head. And look, fair enough, you know,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
If that's the situation, that's the situation. But also, yeah, it leaves you without a critical piece of all this, which was, you know, the genius, at least the musical genius behind it all.
Right.
And so what this ends up being for me anyway, is like a perfectly decent, relatively interesting documentary about a super interesting band that, you know, I certainly learned some things here, probably more than you did, I would imagine. And just, you know, a bit of a retrospective on sort of the eras of their music. But it's certainly not like like a wow. There's no wow factor here, and it's not like a must see.
Would you have rather watched just a normal behind the music on the Velvet Underground than this documentary?
What's the difference other than the flashing lights occasionally and like images of dancing people in the 70s?
I don't know. I mean, I guess like if you'd bet it sort of maybe to the behind the music arc a little bit, you know, and you have the narration, right? I mean, you know, that kind of thing. And it's a little bit less high-minded. I don't know. Like, I feel like that might have been a better experience, to be honest. It certainly would have been a quicker experience.
Right. I could have lived with the quicker. Because, again, like, a lot of that filler sort of... Like, I guess I understand the idea to try to achieve a certain vibe, right? Because, obviously, that was a big part of what the band was about. But...
Yeah.
But it... I don't know. It just didn't work for me.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say it didn't work, but it's hard for me to recommend. Unless you, like, if you're really into the Velvet Underground, definitely watch it. But if you're not, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I mean, it's just one of these things, like, it's probably going to be about as interesting to you as the level of interest you feel when you see that there is a documentary titled The Velvet Underground coming out, right?
Yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Like,
if that doesn't already have you hooked, you're probably okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough. All right, so Succession is back. I probably should have headlined with that, right? Like, that's the big story of the week.
Yep.
And, you know, this show is still masterful, right?
Yes.
So good at what they do, and so good at, you know, like the idea of, you know, the season clearly seems to be, you know, Logan says, Kendall, you're not ready, you're not a killer, and Logan comes back with I Show You, and now we're gonna go to war, and you know, I think it's setting up to be an excellent season. If you're the sort of person that's like, I can't watch this show because I can't root for anyone, you're probably still not on board, but I would say for everybody else, you know, if you've liked what you've seen from the first two seasons, there's a lot to love here.
Isn't, like, I just, maybe those are just, there are people that are too nice for this, but, you know, I look at this show and you can root against people. You know what I mean? Like, you can still
root. It's
pretty
rewarding if you're rooting against every character, because they kind of all eat shit at some point, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Right? so it doesn't really matter who you're rooting against. There's going to be something satisfying, I think, about it.
It seems like inevitably, but there's going to be, yeah, like a crash for every character, to a degree, Logan included. You know, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Totally thrilled with the results of this episode. So all of this stuff, it's a delight. The acting is so good. The writing is spectacular, and it's just, you know, there, it has this sort of almost Shakespearean you know, the royal family in decline and conflict thing. That's totally unique and spectacular.
Yeah, and you nailed it, man. The dialogue for the show is just first class.
Ah.
And the stable of actors is so deep. And they just keep adding more. It's like, oh, hey, Sada and Lathan, welcome to this party. You know, amazing. I think we'll have fun with you. Yeah, I'm excited for what this season has to offer. And you know what I was thinking about? It's like I'm the kind of person that like was excited for Game of Thrones. I guess I was thinking about this because I was reading a little bit about the prequel that's coming out. And like, I'm excited. What excites me about that show is not the dragons. It's the political machinations. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And this show like taking that part of it and just ramping it way the F up. And I'm so here for it.
Yeah, that's a really interesting comparison because I think Game of Thrones without the violence is a hilarious but relatively accurate elevator pitch for Succession. Right? I mean,
yeah.
Game of Thrones, yeah. So modern times.
Okay.
Yeah, no violence. All violence is emotional.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yep. All violence is emotional, indeed. All right, and then that brings us to Queen Pins.
Yeah.
Unless you had more. Do you have more you want to add about Succession? Sorry, before I flip the page.
Not really. The Queen Pins is, you know, I want to hear what you have to say.
Queen Pins, I'm more excited about the elevator pitch than the reality of this of what I watched.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, it's a great cast. It's an interesting idea. I just don't know how well executed it was. And when I say not well executed, I really could just say, this should have been funnier, you know, like it's entertaining enough, but like, I don't know. I wanted to laugh with all of the comic talent who's on board. What did you think?
This just crystallized in my head as you were explaining feelings that are very similar to mine watching this. And I think this movie would have been better off if it were not based on a true story. Because I think what ends up happening is, you know, you're trying not to be too uncanny. Because, like, what this kind of needed was a little bit more absurdity.
Yes. Yeah, just a little bit. And there is, like, you know, it has this kind of, like, it has a little bit of, like, a wink to it, but it just needs a little bit more. You know what I mean? Just needed to take it one degree sharper, I felt like, and, you know, if you're calling it satire, which is, I think, the tone that they're going for more than comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think, right, I think the fact it is told like a here's a true story thing instead of like a Fargo, you know, the names have been changed, but all the events are entirely true.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It should have been Fargo. Or like, you know, Raising Arizona, I guess, might be the, you know, some of the vibes since it's set in Tempe or wherever.
It makes a lot of sense.
I don't know. I do want to shout out Paul Walter Hauser, though, who I think is just fully committed and going for it in his performance.
He's always very committed. That is not in doubt. I like him. He's funny. And Vince Vaughn, I thought, was really funny in this, in his own weird way. But it just, there's not enough laughs.
Yeah. Doing slightly less Vince Vaughn than normal. Slightly less.
It's Vince Vaughn with a professional twist, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Focused Vince Vaughn, I guess, is an interesting Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't. This is one. It's interesting to me. Like, Did you have to search for it a lot when you got to, I think it was Amazon, right? It was on Amazon. Or no, it was Paramount Plus. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was Paramount Plus, yeah.
I don't know if it was Paramount Plus and their just kind of user experience or whatever.
Which is not great.
Which is not great. But, like, I had to, like, go into search and type several letters of, like, Queen to even, like, find the thing. And I couldn't tell if that's just, like, they it just kind of buried it there or something like that. It's just weird that it's, like, there are a lot of big people in this movie. And yep. Paramount Plus doesn't have a ton of, like, interesting original properties. It doesn't seem like it was a big focus for them, though. So, I don't know. It just struck me as odd, you know?
I totally agree. Incredibly yeah. bizarre, I would say. It's their movie.
Yeah, right? You're Paramount, right?
Yeah, I don't. I like, there are names here. It's not like we ferreted out critically acclaimed movie that nobody knew about with unknown actors. Like, this is, again, Paul Walter Hauser, Vince Vaughn, Kristen Bell. Like, these are big names.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I don't know. Very weird. It's very weird. But maybe that's why nobody's talking about it, because it's not something that you would be like, oh, man, I saw this movie Queen Bids, and you got to be in.
Yeah.
All right. Should we get to the challenge?
I think we better.
another fine episode this week. We got ourselves a pole wrestle, and I was ready for it. What's your biggest takeaway from this week's show?
Wow, what's my biggest takeaway? My biggest takeaway is that something has got to give end soon with Emerald's current, like, apparent control of the game. And maybe it's going to be in a girls' elimination. Because I understand Kyle choosing to go with CT. Right? Like, that's not a terrible idea. I don't know how the team numbers thing works, because I kind of thought maybe they'd let him go there without trading back to Ruby, because they, you know, with Ed being out, they were down a guy.
Yeah.
Well,
it's going to be interesting, particularly if Team Ruby keeps losing. if one team just keeps getting picked off over and over again and then becomes much smaller than the other two, how they're going to play that.
Well, but because they trade places, it's actually, you know, Team Sapphire that's down a person now.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe, you know what, and that's probably why that rule was in place to begin with, actually, now that I think about it.
Well, maybe, but it could just as easily go the other direction, right?
I suppose. I understand Kyle's logic, you know what I mean, in saying I'll go with CT because, you know, like, you're trying to sign up with the bigger, you know, with the biggest guy in the show, really.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the GOAT, if you will.
Right.
But I'm not sure I totally agree with it. Like, it sure seems like breaking up Team Emerald would have been the way to go. It's like, if you...
Well, that's kind of what I'm
like,
saying,
why would
right?
you just take... Yeah, why wouldn't you just take Josh's place? You know what I mean? Like, what are they going to do about it, right? Like, it seems like that would put you in a really good, advantageous position. I could be wrong. I guess they could throw a challenge and hunt you, but they're not going to do that, right? Like, they're going to keep on trucking. Why
Probably.
Not break up that alliance from this team that keeps winning? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying, is, like, this can't just stand the way it is. There's too many veterans in this game right now. Someone is going to take a spot. Like, whether they win or not, whoever wins the next challenge is going to have the opportunity to take a spot on that team. Now, maybe it's, you know, Emmy or Big T or Bettina that gets voted down, and maybe they take a shot at Nani, you know? But...
Yeah.
But other than that, someone's... someone's coming after that team, and it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. But I expect whoever the lady is to try to take a spot. And I guess the question is, do you take Tori's or Nani's spot?
Yeah, like, do I mean, you want to piss off Casey? Is the likely candidate, right? Because I don't think Ashley and Amanda are trying to move teams if they wind up going down there, right? Like, those two want to stay together. So
yeah, maybe.
So yeah, you know, I guess the other question would be, what if Team Emerald actually doesn't win the challenge, which I mean was really close to actually happening in this episode, right? So
yeah, I mean, I still don't think anyone from that team is likely to be voted down, though, right?
Yeah, you're right. I would say likely that's fair. Although,
because whoever
that's the other thing looming, right, is a vet turn, right? Like, we are getting to the point where a vet's going to go after another vet.
Yeah, but probably not next week. Like, if we're assuming it's a female elimination, right? Then, if Emerald wins, there's rookies on both teams. If Ruby wins, there's Bettina. If Sapphire wins, there's Emmy and Big T. Like, I don't think the house is still going to vote veterans together. So a rookie's going to probably get voted down, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true from a numbers standpoint. But again, I think, right, like, somebody is going at some point soon, I think somebody's going to figure out that it's their advantage to fire the first shot. And I don't think that's going to be before every rookie is gone from the game, right? Like, someone
might be right.
Their shot, right.
You might be right, you know? But I just doubt that it's this week. So, well, I mean, we'll see. But
yeah,
I think
I'm not suggesting this week, but I don't think we're too many weeks away. This, like, and it wouldn't shock me if it was this week.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Speaking of taking shots and moves of the game, did you approve of Ed's ultimately costly gentlemanly stance here?
Do I approve of it? Sure.
Yeah. I've been protecting Logan. I'm with a lot of the vets. Like, you don't really know this dude.
Yeah, is it smart?
He was low-hanging fruit, man. He's low-hanging fruit.
Right. I mean, I do think in that situation I would have trouble, even if I'd only known him for a couple weeks, putting, like, my closest friend in the house into that situation against me. I think I would struggle with that.
Yeah.
But most of these people are not very nice. So, of course, they were shocked.
Do you really think that was his closest friend in the house? Or was he just like, hey, that one time he said he would protect me and he did? That's kind of the vibe I got.
I don't know, man, but it's just, it's hard to, like, I can understand just from a being a decent human perspective how he would find it difficult to be like, yeah, the injured guy.
Like, yeah, it's, I will say Easttown Ed is a decent human to the core.
Ed of Easttown, yeah. Man, he just seems like a decent guy, which I'm fine with. It didn't help him here, but he probably was, like, he was going to have to go in and going to have to probably face a veteran sooner or later, unless he, yeah, you know, even if he did beat Logan. So, you know, the idea of let me fire my shot, face a legitimate dude now, rather than beat my friend's ass while he's already hurt and then get thrown down, I get it.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, Ed's a rookie in this game, but not obviously, clearly not a dummy. Do you think he was aware when he stepped down into, what do they call the arena this year? I forget.
Is it the arena?
Maybe it is the arena. I don't know.
The lair. It's the lair.
The lair. Do you think he realized that it was a pole wrestle at
no,
that point?
I don't.
I kind of don't either. I also kind of am not sure that I can identify what makes a good pole wrestler, because I do think that Ed seems sort of ideally built, like, physically for pole wrestling, right? He has a very, very much has a wrestler's body.
Wrestler's body, yes. But I think the issue here is having to tear the pole away And I think Kyle's reach helps him tremendously.
Like, wasn't Derek good at pole wrestling, though? Like, I feel like being able to get low should help
him.
Yeah,
but I think Derek was also just a different kind of animal.
You just built different?
Just built. Absolutely, man. By the way, I think we're seeing him again soon, right? With the All-Stars coming.
Yes.
Up.
Yes, yes, indeed. I think he's got to be one of the favorites for All-Stars this year. But, like, I was just thinking about it, and I was like, how the hell did Kyle beat CT in pole wrestling? Like, I guess I just don't – I don't know. Pole wrestling is a bit more of a mystery than I think I realized.
Yeah.
Watching this.
Yeah. Well, I do think Kyle's, like, dogged determination is certainly a factor. He's – like, Kyle is better in all eliminations than you expect him to be.
Yeah, he's going to fight. He's going to fight. And clearly he's got motivation. By the way, did you see the Corey brought the t-shirt out again?
Yeah.
Briefly. speaking of which, there was a lot of Corey in this episode. I don't know that I really had an MVP. But he certainly tried his best to get it.
He did. I said Kyle. For all the reasons, for
just
the incredible
for getting,
ITMs,
wins.
for winning the elimination, just classic Kyle episode. And by the way, I just like again, I totally understand the decision to go with CT because once again, like when you watch how everyone behaves on that satellite in the daily challenge. Once again, it's just so obvious that it's CT's game to lose. Like, he's just so good.
Yep. I understand the reasoning. The one thing I would caveat that with is that CT didn't seem super psyched to have him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I do think CT will get over that if Kyle just performs and doesn't act like a psychopath.
Yeah, which is quite possible.
So
quite
we'll
possible.
See.
And yeah, you know, it's like I don't know why it never occurred to me that we were like kind of, you know, close to losing Kyle. Like the season is always worse when he leaves, right?
Yeah.
Like Kyle and Devin to me are two players you notice when they're gone. You know,
absolutely.
What I mean?
I would like to have
even
them both
if it's
around.
Just for the TV show parts of it. You know,
totally. You know? I don't care if they win, but I'd like to have their commentary through the final. I do have some burns of the week.
Okay.
And it was just a series of brutal sort of one-line quips about Big T after she fell off the daily challenge platform.
Okay.
She was sort of ragdolling through the air. And Tori said, "I've never seen somebody fly like a ragdoll before." And then they cut to Logan, who simply said, I don't know how Big T is alive. And then TJ, after cackling, there was some classic TJ laughing in the Daily Challenge. Just some really, you could have done a supercut of like a solid 30 seconds of TJ just guffawing at people falling on their ass. And after he laughs his ass off at Big T, he says, "Thanks for that, Big T."
Those are pretty good. I like all those. And like Logan with the kind of like second language burn, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not really trying to insult you, I'm just being real honest.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable. My burn of the week came early, and it was when Corey was doing his boot camp. And,
oh my God.
You know, a couple of the other teams are watching, and CT just goes, "Not a chance in hell."
I love how much credit Corey took for boosting team morale. Like, he's like, "The workout worked." Really?
Yeah. No, exactly. Corey is good at reality TV, though. You can tell, like, the extra reps he gets from, Teen Mom or whatever
the hell he's doing. He is funny, man. I think he honestly believes it. Like, I think he's a personal trainer, for God's sakes. I think he thinks the workout worked, but it's just like, okay. Or you guys just did a little better today for no particular reason. And the workout certainly did not get anyone in shape. Like, Big T was limping through it, not because of injury, but just because of exhaustion and not wanting to work out. The whole thing was hilarious.
Yes, all of it was hilarious. And I think, I don't know if he believed it worked or if he was really just trying to sell the personal training brand and maybe some challenge merch. Did you notice, right, that they put the QR code up for the challenge merch during this episode?
Yeah, there were QR codes for a few things over the course of the episode, I feel like.
Yeah, and so I did, of course, click on the challenge merch QR. And, like, you could buy that towel that he was very prominently, like, hanging out of his waist. So I'm like, all right, nice. This may be a branding for the challenge merch and Corey's personal training gig. You can also, by the way, get a skull shirt with your name on it. Your challenge skull shirt. So, I know what I may be getting you for Hanukkah.
Oh, man. That's incredible.
Yep.
I'm into that.
Yeah. So, control of the game, I think, is fairly obvious at this point, right? It's Team Emerald.
Yeah. It's 100% Team Emerald. And I don't know how they Jedi mind tricked Kyle into staying the hell away from them, but they did it. It's
like, you know, that thing like in sports, right? Where it's like, you want to, you know, when you're rooting for a team, you want to do what they don't want you to do, right?
Exactly.
Like, that's what you should be trying to do. And
exactly.
Like, Team Emerald very clearly did not want anyone getting in that mix, and Kyle passed.
But I do think that's
after talking up Emerald.
I know.
Like 2 weeks.
Wearing green clothes to the friggin' elimination thing. It's weird. But you know what I think is, I do think that's going to sort of end up being a major topic of conversation around the house over the next, you know, leading up to the next challenge. Just like, I thought you were with Emerald. Why aren't you with Emerald? We got to do something about Emerald.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems like, at least judging from the previews, which looked pretty excellent, the topic of conversation around the house is, why did you take my spot from Nelson? And then they're going to get into it.
Yeah, that's just weird, though. I don't understand why Nelson's so upset. His team is really not bad now.
And he's with his bud.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they tried to be on opposite sides, but, like,
I don't see how that was really helping them in this format.
Yeah. That's probably better for Team Ruby, ultimately. It's weird.
Yeah. I just don't. But Nelson is also the guy who, like, he's so weird. He's so weird. It's really hard for me to say. Like, I feel like he might just be, like, stuck in his weird ways, having, like, a I don't like change moment. But I don't feel like there's any strategic justification for being upset to be switching from, you know, Sapphire to Ruby at this point.
Are you mildly curious about Nelson's problem child years? Because
100%.
They've been referred to on this show several times over the course of several seasons, but never with much detail.
We never know. Just that, like, he got in trouble a lot when he was a kid, but I don't know exactly what that means. Like, was he in juvie? Like, talk to me. I want to hear. I would watch a Nelson Behind the Music.
So would I. I'm watching, I don't know, maybe a 2-hour Todd Haynes Nelson documentary. Maybe
Behind the Challenge. They own the brand, right?
Yeah, seriously, Paramount crossover. You can get the voice guy and everything. It'd be great.
I'm very into it.
We should pitch this.
Yep.
I could at least go on a podcast and talk about this, dude.
Yeah.
Come on. I also think, you know, and look, I'm judging a lot from a couple of clips that we've seen a couple of times and a couple of previews, but I think excellent troll move by Kyle to go with the headbutt there in a, like, it's not really a headbutt. It's like, I'm going to put my head down and move towards you and really invite you to take a shot at me.
It's the NBA. It's the NBA headbutt. That's what it is.
Yes. Yes. Oh, great call. Great call. It is the NBA headbutt.
Yeah. No, it's always a great move when you don't want to be the person who throws the illicit punch, but you're trying to escalate the situation.
Yeah, and it is it's a hard escalation for someone else to avoid, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of like, like moving towards you.
At
like,
the
you really
very least,
stay in
you kind of have to push if you're the opposition in that scenario. It's hard not to push. Yes.
Yeah, you're really just trying to run, at least in a challenge situation, I don't know, and probably the NBA too. You're really just trying to run out the clock, right, until other people intervene
exactly.
at that point.
That's
your best
right.
move.
Yep. It's a tricky thing, man. Tricky, tricky stuff.
Yes. Yeah, thank God the NBA is back, too. Right?
Thank
like,
goodness.
What a warm presence in our life. What early entertainment value from, like, 3 days worth of basketball we've gotten.
I'm sure you watched the Warriors and the Clippers last night.
I did. I mean, you know, there was some crossover between the nightmare of a baseball game that I started watching, but you know, it was pleasant to flip over after that was,
yeah,
well out of hand to find Steph just like, you know, draining 25 threes.
Yep, good times. Steph Curry's back, so that's good for everyone.
What's the level of excitement in the Bay Area right now about the Warriors 2-0 start?
It's pretty high, and I think it should be. I just don't see the teams in the West that are so prohibitively great that the Warriors aren't right in this thing. So,
yeah, well, and I think there was a school of thought of like, well, you know, Klay's not really going to be back until January at earliest. We don't know what he's going to be like. And yeah, I mean, I think that stuff's true, but I think the assumption was like without him that they wouldn't be that good.
Right.
And they've done a lot to dispel that this week.
People keep getting Steph Curry messed up. I don't even know, like, I'm sick of talking about it. I don't know how to make sense of it. I never have. But, like, people just don't, no matter how many times he shows them, no matter how many different ways, some people refuse to accept that this guy's just fucking amazing. And, like, he does it himself if he has to. He's that good. So, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. There's this idea, I feel like, that he's, like, too tiny or something to carry a team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's still out there. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and if they don't think that about, like, Kyrie,
right,
for example. You know, and I it's just weird. And I'm not quite sure where it comes from, right? You know. But I don't know. It was cool. Actually, one of the things that I sort of noticed was other NBA players chiming in on like on Twitter about Steph's first half.
Yep.
Because that's another thing where it seems like he's, you know, as super duper stars go, he doesn't get the respect that some others do. I'd like to see that change.
Agreed.
You know. Yeah. Man, the sports equinox. It's There's just a lot coming and going all the ways. It is it's been hard to get my ass off the couch for a week and counting now.
Yeah, it's really all going down. It's a wonderful time on the sports calendar.
It is. Okay, let's. I guess we should leave it there, right? You got anything else you want to add?
No, I think that pretty much gets it through. Let's talk homework.
All right, so we're going to watch Dune. That will get my ass up right back to the couch for a solid afternoon.
Yeah, look, I feel like it's getting a decent response, which is kind of unexpected, and I was ready to watch it anyway, so let's go.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And then Insecure is back Sunday night. Excited for that.
Final season.
Yeah. I feel like Insecure is, I mean, like, it's fine that they did. It's not the kind of show that you really need to announce. It's the final season, though. Like, we're not really headed toward a dramatic conclusion of Issa Rae's life. You know what I mean? Right? So.
But yeah, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I'll be sad to see it go. So I guess I'm glad to know ahead of time to prepare myself.
Yeah. But I don't know that there's some inevitable conclusion, right? It's not like really the you know, there's an arc other than the friendship and kind of the ups and downs of that friendship. But it's hard to say that the show is about that, right? So
yeah, I'll be curious to see
where, you know, where they hit pause, you know, on her life. And I'm just ready for some more laughs.
Yep.
So we'll do that. And then I think we're going to watch a ton of sports. And maybe, I don't know about you, but I'm planning on attending some in between now and then. So
I don't know about that, but I'll definitely be watching. So we'll have some stuff to talk about. Go Braves.
All right. Sounds good. Dope Gropers. I did, by the way, if I can take a little victory lap, I did tell you I liked them against the Brewers. I did told you they'd be competitive against the Dodgers. I'm not going to throw a W word around because I'm way, way, way too superstitious for that. But I do feel good about the Braves showing up in this postseason, and hopefully they'll come back and finish the job at home.
Yeah, I don't feel like I argued with you. I just said that, you know, they were not as good as these teams during the course of the regular season.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair. But, you know, that's also baseball, so we'll see. They were, at one point recently, I don't know if it's still the case, but they were the betting favorite a day or two ago to win the World Series, which is kind of strange.
I would describe that as kind of strange.
I think that was a symptom of the lead that they had at the time.
Right.
And the Astros series was a little tighter then. So, but I, you know, I think that there's still more moments to come. I don't think the Red Sox are going to roll over in these couple games either. So
I suppose we'll see.
So we'll see. Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Let's do it again next week.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.